Hello, everyone. We will get started in just a second. We're just waiting for people to pop in from the session auditorium. Give it just a few more seconds. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Research Findings webinar, Cybersecurity Threats and Challenges to SAP Systems, hosted by SAP Insider and presented by Onapsis. I'm Robert Holland from SAP Insider, and I will be your speaker today. Just a couple of announcements before we begin. We do invite you to submit any questions you may have using the Q&A button at the bottom of the Zoom window. We will answer as many questions as time permits as I go through the data from the research. And you can download a copy of the presentation along with the executive summary from the report by going to the SAP Insider site and choosing Research Reports from the top of the screen. The Cybersecurity Threats and Challenges report is currently third down from the top, so just click on that and then you'll be able to download a copy of the research report. So, why don't we jump right in? As a research findings webinar, some of you may have been in these before, but we'll start off with a little bit of a demographics overview. So, who were the respondents to the research, and what sort of roles did they have in the company? What revenue did their organizations come from? Sorry, what was the annual revenue of the organizations they come from? But I mean, as you can see, the respondents, there were pretty minimal number of respondents from Latin America, just 3%. Respondents were largely spread out across EMEA, North America, and APJ. EMEA making up the largest group, a little over 40% of respondents, North America 37%, and APAC 17%. We do have a pretty significant representation of respondents from Asia Pacific these days, or Asia Pacific and Japan. And that's because of the that's because of the connection we have with mastering SAP. As you can see, respondents represented a number of organizations from a number of different sizes. About 51% of respondents were from organizations with revenues below 2 billion in annually. So those would be what SAP would consider small or medium enterprise, and 37% of respondents from organizations that with annual revenues above 2 billion, or what SAP would consider large enterprise. I didn't do too much data breakdown in the research report about, based on revenue. The majority of the focus was on actually a lot of the maturity of the respondents, and you'll sort of see that as we get to it. But we do have that information. We did sort of break that down just so you can sort of see where it is that, where the majority of respondents are from an organizational revenue perspective. In terms of the industry or the market sector and role in which respondents came from, they came from a number of different sectors. As you can sort of see, manufacturing and agriculture was the largest respondent group, followed by software and technology, and then energy and natural resources, healthcare and life sciences, financial services, public sector, etc. The majority of respondents were from, or the largest single respondent group was people, folks who identified as being in the SAP team, followed by IT management, and then dedicated security teams. There were a smaller number of respondents from roles such as business process management, finance, GRC, and compliance. The numbers may not, for role, add up to 100 simply because there might have only been one or two respondents from other, from other groups. But they were, there were a broad range of respondents. But, with nearly 70% coming from, SAP teams, IT management or security, these are the folks that are often, more hands-on involved in, making cybersecurity decisions in what they're doing. So, one of the things that we have sort of looked at over the last several years is what are the biggest cybersecurity threats, impacting organizations. For the last couple of years at least, there are 14 different potential threats that we've asked respondents to rank from most important to least important. So the number that appears there, that 8.52, for example, for data exfiltration at the top of the list, and that's the average score. So that's sort of an 8.52 out of 14, because there were 14 potential threats that were there. Unpatched systems is 8.36 on average. Connections to other systems and our applications was 8.31. But I mean, basically what this does is it gives you an idea of, what's sort of changing year to year. And one of the things that was interesting is the data exfiltration and connections to other systems and our applications have increased in as a concern for respondents to this year's survey. So, last year, for example, data exfiltration was much lower on the list. It might have been fifth or sixth at 7.67. Connections to other systems was only 7.36. So that was probably around about halfway down or even lower. Issues, concerns with about things like ransomware attacks, which have been very high for the last couple of years. And unpatched systems were at the top of our list last year. Now, interestingly, respondents, so we asked a maturity question, and you'll actually see that maturity question in a couple of slides, because we asked respondents to determine the maturity or rate the maturity of their cybersecurity response, right? So those who indicated that they had strong executive support and full visibility across infrastructure, applications, and data, and that represented about a third of respondents, 34% in all. They had different concerns than those who had a lower level of maturity in their, for their cybersecurity response. So respondents with greater cybersecurity maturity were more concerned about things like supply chain attacks, credentials compromise, ransomware attacks, and unpatched systems as their top four cybersecurity threats. Connections to other systems and data exfiltration attacks were ranked fifth and sixth for those respondents, indicating their greater cybersecurity coverage, might have made some of those threats, a little bit less concerning. On the other hand, supply chain attacks where, where attackers, for example, target trusted third-party vendors, they were far more concerning to these respondents. And as you can see, supply chain attacks is a little above halfway down on the list for all respondents. Those who indicated a slightly lower cybersecurity maturity, and that's 38% of respondents, were most concerned about things like unpatched systems, connections to other systems, credentials compromise, weak access controls, and insider threats. So these organizations have an increased investment and maturity of people processing technology across multiple security domains, supporting cybersecurity beyond core protections, but they're missing either strong executive support or they're missing full visibility across the enterprise. Right, so it's interesting to look at the fact that, that 40% of nearly 40% of respondents, yes, unpatched systems are a concern for everybody. They're a little less of a concern for, those with a greater cybersecurity maturity. They were sort of only fourth on the list as against first. But it is interesting that, those with a greater maturity are, more concerned about supply chain attacks, credentials compromise. These are things that are not coming into the top five for respondents that have, less executive support or less visibility across the enterprise. And then at the bottom of the list, those with the lowest cybersecurity maturity, in other words, they might have some core protections in place, but they're primarily focused on regulatory compliance with limited advanced cybersecurity capabilities, right? That was 19%. Or they're maybe just mostly reactive from their cybersecurity, from a cybersecurity standpoint, and they have sort of a minimal investment in securing critical systems only. That's another 10%. So that 29% of respondents, or a little less than a third, they were most concerned about data exfiltration, supply chain attacks, weak access controls, ransomware attacks, or custom code vulnerability. So they're what you can sort of read into that is that, the correlation between more, traditional SAP security concerns, which is weak access controls, and the primary focus on regulatory compliance or mostly reactive policies, indicates that many of those organizations, they might not have moved entirely beyond GRC type concerns to their, to broader cybersecurity threats. Also potentially they're also what was I going to say? Yes, they are concerned about data exfiltration, but they're more concerned about custom code vulnerability, whereas you notice that wasn't even in the top five for the other two groups, and it's in fact it's only it's towards the bottom of the list for respondents as a whole, indicating that maybe those other groups, those that have a greater investment in cybersecurity, or particularly have, as a something that might be having a more of an impact, which is a stronger executive support, might have already been able to partially or fully address some of those, challenges. So, when we look at, what's driving cybersecurity strategy, so we've sort of looked at, what are the top challenges? Why are organizations concerned about those? When we look at what's driving cybersecurity strategy and plans for SAP systems, as you can sort of see, the need to protect access to sensitive and confidential data in SAP systems is pretty much kind of, it's at the top of the list again. I think it dropped off last year. Pressure to keep systems secure from ransomware and malware attacks, just pipped it at 36% compared to 34% last year. But this year, there's a much greater focus. There's a much greater focus on that need to protect data in SAP systems. And I think, every SAP customer recognizes that the data in your SAP system is vital. I mean, there's personally identifiable information, there's the ability to, see the financial performance of the company. You can see, everything from POs, to different sorts of things. And, anyone who gets access to an SAP system, whereas previously you might need to know how to leverage that access, now, you can go to YouTube and you can probably find videos on step-by-step ways to take actions. I mean, even among SAP systems that require, that are still running, SAP GUI or something like that, you might actually be in some ways a little bit more secure because, not everyone necessarily knows how to use SAP GUI, but there are tutorials now available online. There's code that, in sources, in places like GitHub and other repositories, to allow you to exploit these systems. But if we look at, What are the driving factors based on maturity? So based on cybersecurity maturity, those with the greatest maturity placed an equal weight on three different factors, right? So they said 44%, and we ask respondents taking this particular answering this question to answer their with their top two choices. So they identified three factors at an equal with an equal weight: the need to protect access to sensitive data, a pressure to keep systems secure from ransomware attacks, and a pressure to keep critical systems online, right? And that was 44% for each of them. So it's the same three factors that are here that are listed, but they're receiving an equal weight from those who are with the greatest cybersecurity maturity. For those with a sort of a middle, a little less cybersecurity maturity, they were focused on the need to protect data and SAP systems, 46%, pressure to keep critical systems online, 33%, and a demand to improve the ability to analyze security data and detect attacks in process. That was 29% for them. And pressure to keep systems secure from ransomware and malware attacks, 29%. So, maybe they haven't, something that those with a greater cybersecurity maturity might have already been able to address to a certain extent, for example, pressure to keep critical systems and operations online, or particularly the demand for the ability to analyze security data and detect attacks in process is something that those with the greatest cybersecurity maturity might have already been able to address. Unlike those who have, maybe less executive support to try and push through those sorts of things. Then if we look at those with the lowest cybersecurity or the least cybersecurity maturity, they were more impacted by, like everyone else, the pressure to protect data and SAP systems, 42%. But if equal for them was a need to protect from ransomware and malware attacks, that was also 42%. But that was followed by the need for better data protection compliance, 21%, a pressure to keep critical systems online, 21%, and the need to build security into custom SAP application development cycles, 21%. So I mean, I think it's, I think it's interesting in the sense that there are obvious differences in the way respondents with differing cyber levels of cybersecurity maturity are answering the questions, and what are the biggest challenges that they face? And speaking of challenges, and the previous question when we talked about factors responsible, that those are internal or external factors that are impacting, impacting the ability to, impacting cybersecurity strategy, right? This next question is just, what are the biggest challenges that you face with securing your SAP systems? Now, interestingly, even though it dropped significantly from 48% to 35% from last year to this year, keeping up with SAP security notes, patches, and updates was still the biggest challenge for respondents as a whole. But I mean, you can see that protecting data dropped from 42% to 23%. I'm not quite sure what drove that. And even securing custom code went from 43% last year to just 13% this year. Perhaps because organizations are already taking action to protect and do something with that custom code, particularly if they're in the process of a transformation or a transition to SAP S/4HANA, or they're preparing for that move in the future. Now, if you look at this once again by maturity, those with the greatest cybersecurity maturity were most concerned about malware being downloaded through end user systems, 42%, password misuse, sharing, or compromise, 33%, and a lack of cybersecurity resources, 33%. So if you'll notice, like, password misuse, sharing, or compromise is just 18% for all respondents, although lack of cybersecurity resources is actually, fifth on the list there. So that is a bit more of a factor. Those with a slightly lower cybersecurity maturity were most challenged by keeping up with patches and updates, 50%, ensuring segregation of duties, 43%, and the lack of collaboration between security operations and SAP teams. Oh, I'm sorry, that's those with the least cybersecurity maturity, not those that are in the middle. But I mean, that sort of aligns with, what we've sort of seen earlier. Those with the least cybersecurity maturity are focused on more traditional SAP security, which is more GRC focused. For example, that's why ensuring patches and updates, sorry, ensuring segregation of duties, I can't even read what I'm looking at. Ensuring segregation of duties is so important for those respondents. And then, something else that is potentially resolved by having a greater executive support or stronger executive support is that lack of collaboration between security operations and SAP teams. Now, I mean, it's a little below halfway down the list for all respondents at 20%, but 36% of those with the least cybersecurity maturity and investment had a problem with that. So it's obviously more of a problem for those that don't have strong executive support. Now, it is obviously something you can solve over time, and you can have your, IT teams and your security operations teams and your SAP teams collaborating to ensure security. But it is interesting that there is, there are such significant differences between those with the most maturity and those with the least maturity, when it comes to, what are the challenges that they face in securing their SAP systems. So, where are people planning on, or where are respondents rather planning on investing? Breaking this down by respondent maturity, those with the greatest cybersecurity maturity were focused on SAP native security and compliance tools, 67%, cloud and hybrid security, 67%, security patch and vulnerability management, 56%, and data protection and privacy controls, 56%. So there's a more of a greater proportion of the respondents with a higher level of cybersecurity maturity were planning on on investing, as against the relatively, and those are the areas they're focused on investing, for so more than half were planning on investing, and more than two-thirds were planning on investing in security and compliance tools, cloud and hybrid security. That was 67% each, and more than half security patch and vulnerability management and data protection and privacy controls, also 50%, 56%. Those with a lower or a medium level of cybersecurity security, a cybersecurity maturity, we're focused on, SAP native security and compliance tools, 50%, security patch and vulnerability management, 43%, and data protection and privacy controls, 43%, and SAP security skills and managed services, 36%, which is actually something that you sort of see further down the list, just 31% for all respondents. Sorry, was that? I think that was the least cybersecurity. And those with an average level of cybersecurity maturity are focusing their investments on audit and monitoring tools for SAP systems, 69%, and SAP security patch and vulnerability management, 54%. Now, the average group are those that have some cybersecurity investment, but don't necessarily have visibility across the organization. And this is why you can see there's continuing to invest in auditing and monitoring, audit and monitoring tools, as against those with the greatest level of cybersecurity maturity and strong executive support, because they probably already have those systems in place. Those who have the least cybersecurity maturity, they're still looking at audit and monitoring tools for SAP systems, 43%, but they're sort of continuing to focus on, data protection and privacy, SAP security skills and managed services, right? They're still ramping up their internal teams to have the knowledge that makes it possible for them to better support cybersecurity for their SAP systems. Now, this is the maturity and posture, cybersecurity maturity and posture. And as you can sort of see, what we did is, I've broken much of the data down by, these three, essentially three groupings. 34%, the top 34% is those with proactive and well-funded, or proactive and well-funded maturity and posture with strong executive support and full visibility across infrastructure, applications, and data. Another 38% is sort of this average or middle group, which has increased investment and maturity of people, process, and technology across multiple security domains, supporting cybersecurity beyond core protections, right? So they don't just have a basic level of security, but they don't necessarily have that yet, have that full visibility, and they don't necessarily have that strong executive support. And then the last two groups we've sort of put together, those with core protections, but they're primarily focused on regulatory compliance, and then those who are mostly reactive with minimal investment in securing critical systems only. They're doing the base level of security that is sort of required. And there's some interesting data that comes up towards the end of the survey around, those users, particularly in sort of what they're sort of seeing as a result of, having that primarily reactive or focusing on core protections only. And we'll sort of see that later. So, what is the importance of business processes and data supported by your SAP applications? I mean, I think pretty much everyone here who is an SAP customer would agree that, your SAP systems are either mission critical with highly confidential data, and any disruptions would severely impact revenue, operations, and compliance. I mean, that was nearly three quarters of respondents reported that was the role there, or that was sort of the position that their SAP systems played in that. And then another 21%, taking it up to 92%, said it's highly important with sensitive data, where disruptions will be problematic, but they would be more manageable. Excuse me. Only, less than 7%, and only it probably only doesn't add up to 100 because of rounding. But it's moderately important with valuable data, but that's used by some departments, but it's not core to the business, and then low priority. I mean, I think the vast majority of SAP customers would fall into the first two scenarios, and that's where that is where we see people identifying themselves. Who owns cybersecurity programs for SAP at organizations? I mean, I think it's interesting because 91% of respondents reported that their systems were, cybersecurity programs for their SAP systems were either owned by information security groups, the office of the CIO, or some sort of combination between those groups, right? So it's either the CISO's office, the CIO's office, or a combination of those two. And I think, whether a company has a CISO is probably to a certain extent based on organizational size. Large enterprises are probably almost certain to have a CISO, or much more likely to have a CISO, and those with revenues, below a couple of hundred million, maybe 500 million, may be much less likely to have a CISO, and they might have the CIO, as the head of their cybersecurity programs. But then, the largest organizations might sort of have to, work between those two, or collaborate rather between those two. But it is positive that, a can't speak, plurality of respondents have security teams owning those programs, as embedding SAP security in IT teams can cause of a lack of if you don't have it embedded, can cause of a lack of awareness about broader cybersecurity strategy. So, it is important that IT teams work in conjunction, with SAP teams. Now, one of the things that we asked a few questions ago, which was, if you recall, what are the challenges you face in securing your SAP systems? I'll just skip back to that slide so you can see biggest challenges faced, and then keeping up with SAP security notes, patches, and updates. So for those users who said they faced a challenge in, faced challenges in keeping up with security patches and updates, we then asked a follow-up question. Well, what's leading to that patching backlog? So this is just the people who said they faced challenges keeping up with patches and updates. 64% of them said it's just an issue with scheduling downtime. That was the biggest challenge. So nearly two-thirds of these people with patching and updating challenges said, well, I just can't find the time. It's very difficult to find the time. And for certainly for large enterprises, and given the value of SAP systems to organizations, it's not really surprising that it's difficult to work with the business to find even scheduled downtime, let alone unscheduled downtime if there's a high priority patch that comes out or something that needs immediate addressing. It's tough to do that. But 57% also sort of reported that they have difficulty validating whether SAP security patches and notes are properly and correctly applied, right? I mean, you apply the patch, is it, are you sure that that worked? And it's sort of a little bit surprising that such a high proportion of respondents said that they had difficulty determining whether the patch was properly applied. Another 43% said they're reluctant to apply SAP security patches or notes that could impact availability. This sort of goes along with difficulty scheduling downtime because, I mean, if you do manage to schedule downtime and then you apply a patch or a note and then it impacts the availability of your system, then that's a problem. Even if you start off testing it out on dev and then you move it to Q&A, that's not to say that something isn't slightly different in your production system that could have an impact. But I mean, it also could be that there's simply a reluctance to apply those patches. You don't want to, you're nervous about taking that step because you think it might have an impact, even if it doesn't necessarily. Limited resources is also another reason for patching challenges, difficulty understanding which security notes and patches are the highest priority. I mean, SAP, Patch Tuesday, which I think was just a couple of days ago, there's usually a number of different things, number of different patches released, and it's not always easy to gather to determine, well, which of the things are most important to me. I can see that this particular issue, for example, has a higher CVSS. Maybe it's a 9 point something or even a 10, because that has happened from SAP before. But that doesn't necessarily mean that those particular patches apply to you. You may not need to apply those because you're not using those particular features or functionality. So understanding which ones you have to apply and which have the highest priority can be a challenge. I mean, there are organizations out there that do help you do that. Most of the vendors that play in the SAP space, put out some sort of a blog on Patch Tuesday, giving you an idea of, what you might want to address. And there's also a couple of smaller organizations. And I actually talked with a gentleman from one of those relatively recently, Sanisha Medic, about just patching challenges for SAP in general. And if you go to SAP Insider Online and you go to, I think it's on the, there's a hamburger menu on the top left, or a drop-down menu on the top left, and you can sort of choose featured topics, and one is Expert Exchange. And we now have a five-part series up there on cybersecurity. Starting off with, well, what is cybersecurity for SAP? We talk about patching challenges. We talk about threat intelligence. We talk about whether there's a cybersecurity skills gap. And then we talk about cybersecurity for SAP, RISE with SAP. So, if you want a little more detailed conversation, and I think, most of those videos are 15 minutes, maybe 10, about 15 minutes to 20 in length, then, you can sort of go and explore those topics as well. Explore those videos, rather. How threats are detected and monitored in SAP systems. Obviously, the availability of tools, there are tools available to help you do this. The largest respondent group is still using manual audits and periodic SAP security assessments, which is kind of a problem, right? Because if you're relying on manual audits to detect threats, you're not necessarily going to find out if your system has been, even in a best case scenario, if there's been a problem in your system until you conduct that next manual audit or security assessment. People are using 63% of people are using Solution Manager or Focused Run or Cloud ALM. Obviously Solution Manager is end of lifing at the end of 2027. Like many SAP applications. And that will people will need to move from that to something like Focused Run or something like Cloud ALM. Another 48% of respondents say they're using some sort of third-party security tool, an Anapsys, Pathlock, ERP Scan. There's a number of different vendors out there that have third-party SAP security tools. Many people integrate their SAP logs into their SIEM systems. This can be a bit of a challenge because, the SAP security log can be difficult to analyze. So, I mean, there are vendors that specialize in doing that, and they can perhaps, give you a greater insight into, what's happening. Extended detection response, cloud native security monitoring, right? Which is fine if you have, SAP systems up in the cloud. Relatively small proportion are using SAP Enterprise Threat Detection. I think to a certain extent that's because it's a bit more complex of a tool, and might require a little more administrative overhead, although it obviously works, very well to detect threats across your SAP systems. But I mean, I think the with the coming end of mainstream maintenance for SAP Solution Manager, people will need to determine how they can, change moving forward. And I think there also has to be a focus to move away from manual audits and periodic assessments, because that really can't be the primary way in which you're detecting and monitoring threats in your SAP environments. What's the status of a incident response plan for SAP-related cyber incidents? 41% of respondents reply that they have a well-documented and tested plan. Another 21% say they have a plan, but it's not fully tested. 21 another 21% say they rely on general IT security response procedures. So I mean, and then another 13% say they're working on developing one, but I mean that means that over a half the respondents to this survey said that they don't have a plan that they've tested, which could potentially be a problem if you were to encounter a cybersecurity incident in your SAP systems, or in systems that are connected with your SAP systems, even if it's not directly in your SAP systems. So, this is something that organizations need to be aware of, as they move forward, because, you not only is it important to have a plan, you also have to test the plan. Your team needs to know what to do. I mean, one of the things that we've sort of seen in previous SAP Insider research is that, previous cybersecurity research is that a lot of the time, when people encounter a cybersecurity incident, they're not really sure what to do. There are SAP partners now that are forming communities to help people, address cybersecurity attacks or find a way to respond to incidents, but it's not necessarily something that everyone is leveraging yet. How do respondents say that they plan to handle disaster recovery for SAP workloads in the case of a security breach? Two-thirds of respondents say just regular backups with rapid restore capabilities, which is fine as long as those regular backups are not compromised. Those with the greatest cybersecurity maturity were more likely to use the second choice, which is real-time application and failover to back up SAP systems, rather than, regular backups with rapid restore, which was still 73% of them had used those systems. I think a combination of both is probably what those organizations with the greatest cybersecurity maturity are looking to do. Those with the average cybersecurity posture are more likely to be using regular backups, 73%, but only 47% were using real-time application failover. And those with the least or the least investment in cybersecurity or the least mature cybersecurity posture, we're using regular backups, 50%, only 50%, but they were just as likely to have no dedicated SAP disaster recovery plan, 36%, excuse me, as they were to be using a real-time application of failover, 36%. And that can be a problem because, those with this lower level of cybersecurity maturity are more likely to, potentially run into a challenge with securing their, with that level of cybersecurity maturity. So, what's needed to secure an SAP system? This is a question we've been asking for a few years now. As you can see, we added some new response choices this year. Those are the ones for which there's only that darker blue bar. There's not that mid blue bar. But I mean, what do you need to make an SAP system secure? Respondents as a whole said user and authorization management, network security, application vulnerability management, security incident monitoring, audit logs, high availability and disaster recovery, right? Those are the top five things. But as you can kind of see, that differed for respondents of different levels of cybersecurity maturity. Those with the greatest maturity were focused on application vulnerability management, right, which was third for respondents as a whole. Database security, which was actually out of the top five for respondents as a whole. User and authorization management, and data compliance, right? And data compliance is actually below the halfway point for all respondents. Those with an average level of cybersecurity maturity were focused more on SIEM systems, so security incident monitoring, audit logs, 79%, application vulnerability management, HA and DR, which is fifth, and application threat or exploit monitoring, which was actually, I think, towards the bottom of the list for respondents as a whole. Those lagging in cybersecurity maturity were focused on much more traditional tasks like network security, 64%, user and authorization management, 64%, encrypted data, 57%, front-end security, 57%, and encrypted communications, 57%. These are things that those with a greater level of cybersecurity maturity, not even those with the highest level of cybersecurity maturity, have already addressed. They're not focusing on those things to make their SAP systems secure. Unlike those with just a basic cybersecurity posture. And that sort of indicates that those with the lowest level of, those that don't have necessarily strong executive support, they're still focusing on the basics. those with a greater level of cybersecurity maturity are focusing on things like incident monitoring and audit logs, application vulnerability, and those with the highest level, they're focused on things like, app vulnerability management, database security, user and authorization management, data compliance, right? So they're focused on different topics as they move through that maturity cycle. Familiarity with security ownership and roles under the shared security model for RISE with SAP. Now, of those who are considering moving to RISE with SAP. So we only asked this question to the 55% of respondents who said that they were considering moving to RISE with SAP in the future. That group of respondents was asked about their familiarity with the shared security model for RISE with SAP. SAP has published it. It's quite detailed, but it's fairly exhaustive. It's multiple pages in length. But while about half of those planning on moving to RISE with SAP in the future were sort of familiar with it, they had an idea of what it was. A much smaller percentage, less than a third, were actually more knowledgeable about the model. And this is something that, those who are planning on moving to RISE with SAP are going to need to address, if they're going to ensure that their RISE with SAP deployments are secure. Because particularly when you're using RISE with SAP, I mean, that's, whatever SAP is calling it, Cloud ERP Private, there are specific things that you need to do as a user, and there are specific things that SAP will do. I mean, Cloud ERP Private, or what was called RISE with SAP, which is now sort of describing the journey to Cloud ERP Private and the cloud-based applications that are surrounding it. It's essentially when you move to RISE with SAP infrastructure, it's essentially a platform as a service. It's not infrastructure as a service, so you're not necessarily responsible for everything, but it's also not software as a service, right? So if you're using public cloud, you're really just responsible for the access to the application itself. When you're using a platform, you have a lot greater responsibility, and it's very important to understand what you own and what SAP owns, in order to ensure that the data in your SAP systems, is secure, particularly in RISE in the context of a RISE with SAP framework. Now, also for those who were planning on using RISE with SAP, what are the most concerning areas of SAP cybersecurity in RISE with SAP? Some of these concerns I think can be addressed by following the shared security model, which people weren't as familiar with as perhaps they should have been. But SAP insiders will also need to work with partners to ensure that they're covering any security gaps when moving to or implementing RISE with SAP. So, one of the most concerning areas is securing sensitive data, BTP security. There's quite a few, we've had sessions at our events on securing BTP. Securing both your legacy data and your new RISE with SAP assets simultaneously during transition, that's something that you need to focus on. Threat detection, third-party access to your technology stack, cloud infrastructure security, vulnerability management. But this is all things that are potentially going to be more revealed when you understand the shared security model for RISE with SAP. So, how is the current economic climate impacting security objectives? Now, since this survey was fielded, things have changed a little bit. We published this report in May. We were gathering data probably from February through April. So, take this with a bit of a grain of salt in terms of where the impact is. But as of the time of publication, about 40% of respondents said that they do have some projects on hold. 29% said that they're also, they're all, they may, in addition to maybe having some projects on hold, they're also scaling back planned investments. 29% are looking for alternatives to sort of save money, reduce cost. 29%, another 29% are saying that there's a greater demand for security due to increased threat level. But that is, although that's up from last year, you can sort of see that, that's coming from different places, right? Because those with the greatest cybersecurity maturity, actually, just because you have a greater cybersecurity maturity doesn't mean you're necessarily spending more money. They had a higher level, 56%, saying they had projects on hold. Now, maybe that's less of a concern for them because they already have a lot of stuff in place. But 22% of those with the greatest maturity are still saying they need to scale back investments. And tw another 22%, or perhaps some of that same 22%, because this is select all that apply, are also looking for ways to reduce costs. Those with an average cybersecurity posture are the most likely to actually see a greater demand for security, 38%. But they're also seeing projects on hold, 31%, investments being scaled back, 31%, or they're looking to reduce costs. So there's a combination. Those with the least cybersecurity maturity, 36% have investments on hold, 29% are scaling back, 29% are reducing costs. So they're not that different from the survey as a whole. But yeah, just because you have a greatest, you have stronger executive support, and maybe you have more visibility over your, systems today, doesn't necessarily mean that you actually have more money to spend, because more of those people are have projects on hold. But the fact that those projects that are on hold may have a less significant impact than on those groups that have a lower cybersecurity maturity, because they've already done investments to get up to a solid point. And then this was something that was very interesting, right? And we'll finish up with just the DART framework in just a second. But something we have asked for the last couple of years is, what's the proportion, or have any of you ex reported experiencing some form of cyber attack that's impacted your SAP systems, right? We didn't necessarily have a time frame on that. This year, we specifically said during the past year, right? So we asked three different questions. We ask, have you suffered from a credentials compromise or social engineering attack that's impacted your SAP systems? Have you suffered from a ransomware or malware attack that's impacted your SAP systems? Or have you suffered from a cybersecurity attack that's impacted your SAP systems during the past year? Now, across the board, 23% of respondents said they'd experienced some form of attack that had impacted their SAP systems, right? So they could have been credentials compromised, it could have been ransomware or malware, it could have been a cybersecurity attack, right? So that's just consolidating the numbers. So how many people out of the total number of survey respondents, actually had experienced some form of attack. But what's interesting is that those with the greatest level of cybersecurity maturity, only 11% of them reported a credentials compromise, a ransomware or malware attack, or a cybersecurity attack. For those with a medium or average level of cybersecurity posture, 15% across the board. And those with the weakest cybersecurity posture, so those who are basically just doing the core stuff and not too much more, maybe they're focusing on compliance, they're much more likely to see attacks impacting their SAP systems. 36% of those had experienced a credentials compromise, a ransomware attack, or another 36% a ransomware and malware attack, and then just 21% a cybersecurity attack. So that's revealing, because what it says is, if you're just doing the core stuff, your systems, your SAP systems are far more vulnerable to attack than those who have greater of insight into their cybersecurity across the organization. So just moving into the last slides, we already talked about drivers at the beginning of the research. So we'll talk a little bit about actions, requirements, and then what technologies are being used. actions or what strategies are being implemented to support your cybersecurity needs. Regularly implementing patches and updates. I don't think there's a surprise there. Integrating SAP into security operations like SIEM, conducting regular audits, implementing automated monitoring and compliance solutions. I mean, from a, you know, but in order to enact those strategies, you have cybersecurity requirements that you have to meet, right? You know, things like tools that provide consistent protection across cloud and on-premise environments. You know, we ask people to sort of rate, is this not important to very important? Fully patched and updated systems, safe password practices, compliance with data management requirements. So, you know, those who respond that these things are important or very important, you can sort of see the percentages there. And a lot of these have gone up over the last year or so. They've gone from, you know, mid-70s to maybe 90% of respondents are saying that these things are important or very important to their SAP systems. And then the technologies used to support the cybersecurity strategy. Continuous monitoring, encrypted secure connectivity, data encryption. But what's sort of interesting is if you look at those with the greatest cybersecurity maturity, you know, they're using continuous monitoring, encrypted secure connectivity, application aware network security, data encryption, vulnerability management, you know, those with, I think everyone is sort of using encrypted secure connectivity at some point. But continuous monitoring isn't necessarily at the same level for everyone. And technologies like, you know, data encryption, vulnerability management, you know, there are differences in those with different cybersecurity maturities. You know, similarly for what's being implemented in the future, automated testing for compliance, automated code vulnerability testing, threat intelligence feeds, zero trust models, dynamic authorization and least privilege, UI masking, etc. I'm not going to read through all this, and like I said, you can download the report and get a copy of that. And then, you know, what's being implemented in the future is around automated code vulnerability and testing, UI masking, automated testing for compliance, behavioral analytics, etc. And with that, I do want to thank you for you know, attending today's webinar. We are out of time. If you have a question, please feel free to reach out to me, and I will be more than happy to get back to you about the data. If you do want to download the report, simply go to the SAP Insider website, choose Research Reports from the top of the screen. The Cybersecurity Threats and Challenges report is currently third down from the top. So on behalf of SAP Insider and our sponsor, Anapsys, thank you for your time and have a great day.